Continuing Maseches Megillah, we are on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. So we're continuing tonight's limud is continuing along in the Agarta. But again, we're darshening out now the psukim from the Megillah. Okay, so we left off. The last thing we said was that the reason for the discrepancy in years when doing one of the cheshbonos was that we counted partial years as full years, so if you subtract the partial years and you add up the parts together, it comes up to 70 years exactly, and that worked out the numbers. Okay, I ain't sure. So the Gemara says in the second line, second to last word, Af Daniel ta'ab ha'yichushbeno. So Daniel, not only did Belshazzar and Achashverosh make the mistake in the years, miscalculated the years, but Daniel miscalculated the years as well. After Neil Tov by Chushbino, Tichsev, because it says, Bishnas Achas Lemalcho, Ani Daniel Binosi Besvarim. So it says that I in the first year of his first year as king. So I Daniel made a cheshbon of the year. So Rashi points out Binosi Besvarim Lashon Sphere of a cheshbon, that I made a calculation, implying that he made a calculation, but it was an incorrect calculation.
How do we know it was incorrect?
We're going to say, midikamer beinosi. It says that I tried to infer. So michlal deta implies that, you know, he didn't say straight up I made the calculation. He said I inferred the calculation, implying that it wasn't a complete process. Fine. So Rashi just points out. One second. Sorry. Yeah, it just points. So again, we don't. You're right. We don't have his years, his calculation. But the Gemara is just making a drasha from the word that he says binosi. It didn't just say that I made a cheshbon. He said I calculated to make a cheshbon. I tried to make a cheshbon or something
what
like that.
What does binosi mean?
Binosi means like a lashon of havana. Like I think it means I.
Sphere
of cheshbon. Like it's like
counting and calculating.
Yeah. So the fact that it uses the word binosi, which is like a little bit extra. It says Daniel Binosi. He could have just said, you know, Manasi Beswam, I counted, or it says Binosi, a lashon of kind of like a calculation, implying that he also made the wrong calculation. It wasn't exactly a perfect calculation.
Okay.
Mikol Makom, Kashu Kraya Dadi. So at the end of the day, with all the things we've spoken, we still have a contradiction between Psukim. Ksiv, in one pasuk it says, this is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it says Melos LeBavel. So I'm referring to the Galus. So it says in the years of Babel. Rashi points out Melos LeBavel Shivim Shana Efkor Eschan B'Sefer Yirmiyahu. So it says Melos LeBavel. You know, with the count of Babel, 70 years later, the base of Mikdash is going to be destroyed. Again, we pointed out that implies that it's from the 70 years from when Babel, took over. B'ksiv, however, it also says, this is a pasuk in Daniel, it says, L'charvos Yerushalayim, that it's from the destruction of Jerusalem. So which one is it? Is it from the rise of Babel, or is it from the destruction of Jerusalem? Because there's going to be a difference. Amarava, L'pkida be'alma. No, when it says Babel, when it says L'malos le'Babel, that's only referring to a pkida be'alma, meaning that's when Hashem is going to start, in a sense, kav yachol, remember us. Remember that we're in Gullus. Or remember that that once Babel gets eaten up, so that's not the time that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, but it's going to be the time that Hashem's going to remember us.
That Babel gets eaten up? Or
yeah, Melos LeBavel. I'm saying Melos LeBavel. The pasuk says, Ki cho amar Hashem ki lefi Melos LeBavel shivim shana efkor eschem. So the Melos LeBavel shivim shana that Melos LeBavel. We said Melos LeBavel refers to, we said last week.
You said it was a rising of Babel.
I know, just now, but I don't think it is. I think it's the destruction of Babel. We said last week, it's not, we mentioned this pasuk, one second. Let me find it again.
Try the English.
There are a lot of psukim. Yeah, you could read it in English. There are a lot of psukim.
When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I shall remember you.
Right. So the question was it from the rise of Babylon, from the entry of Babylon, from when Babylon took over? So fine. So the question is it from 70 years from the point is it 70 years from Babylon or 70 years from the destruction? And there's a discrepancy between those years. That was the point. So the point is that, no, so Hashem's going to kavyachol remember us 70 years from Melos LeBavel, from the count of Bavel. But he's not going to build the Beis HaMikdash until 70 years from the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Okay?
So like our fortune will change, but we'll reach the apex.
In a sense, yeah.
Later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's why it says Komar Koresh Melech Paras Kom Lam Lachos Haaretz Nasan Li Hashem Elokei Hashemayim V'hu Pakar Elai Livnos Lo Bayis B'Yerushalayim. That's why it says Koresh says I Koresh Cyrus King of Persia and a king over all of the lands, Hashem the God of the sky gave me and remembered for me to build his house in Jerusalem. So again, that's the idea that was the 70 years after Melos Bavel, not necessarily the 70 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash.
Was Koresh the Babylonian king or the Jewish king?
Persian king. Persian. I mean, he was non-Jewish, and he was a good king. He went back and forth. He was like
Didn't you say he like started using like the temple stuff in the during his celebration?
Not him. That was Belshazzar. Belshazzar and Ahasuerus.
After him, okay, yeah.
Yeah, before him. Before him.
Well, Koresh was before or after all of them?
I think Koresh was after. Okay. Koresh was the one that allowed Ezra and Nehemiah to go up to build Yerushalayim.
Oh, okay.
Build the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. I think it was after. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, Darsh of Nachman Bar Chizda. So, Nachman Bar Chizda says, "My dichsev, what did it say in the pasuk? Ko amar Hashem l'mishicho l'koresh asher echzakti b'yamini." So he says, the pasuk says, Hashem said to Lemeshicha Lekoresh, to his anointed one, to Koresh, that he held up, that he secured in his right hand. So the Gemara asks, Koresh Mashiach haya? Was Koresh the anointed one? Right? He was Mashiach. Ela, Amar Lekoresh Baruch Hu Lemeshicha. Rather, Lekoresh Baruch Hu is going to say to Mashiach, Kovel ani lecha al Koresh. I'm complaining to you about Koresh. Ani emarti hu yivne besi, v'yikavit galuyasi. Right, I told him you're going to be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to be the one to gather in all the exiles. V'omar, he ended up saying, "Mi bachem mikol amo v'yal." He said to Ezra Nehemiah, whoever the Jewish people, whoever wants to go up and do it. Meaning, he passed along the job. So Hashem kavyachol complains to Mashiach and says, "This is the Koresh guy that I tried getting, treating mizaka him, and he ended up passing it along." Okay, fine. So now the Gemara is going to go back to darshaning the Pesukim and the Megillah. Chel paras umadai. Partamim, right? It says Chel Parasim Adai Partamim. So Viksiv, so it says Chel Parasim Adai Partamim. That it says Paras before Madai, meaning the kings of Paras and the officers of Madai. Viksiv, but a little bit later it says Lamalche Madai Uparas. That the kings of Madai. So were the kings from Madai or the kings from Paras? Who was the ruling party here between Madai and Paras? So Amarava Asnuye Asnu Bahadadi. They made a deal with each other, Madai and Paras. Iminon malchi minaychu ifrichu. Minaychu ifrichu. Iminon malchi minaychu ifrichu. If we appoint the king, then you guys will be the officers. Be minaychu malchi, and if you guys appoint the king, minon ifrichu. Meaning they basically hedged their bets to make sure that they were both going to be in some sort of ruling role. When you're the king, we're the officers. When you're the officers, we're the king. Or vice versa. Okay. So, Bahar Oso, so Nagamar continues, according to the Megillah. Bahar Oso is Osher Kvod Malchuso, that he showed off all of his glory. Amrav Yossi Bar Chanina Melamed Shalavish Big Dekuna. This shows that Achashverosh came out to his party wearing the Big Dekuna. Ksiv, how do we know? Ksiv Hachar. Hacha, it says in the Megillah, Yakar Tiferes Gedulaso, to show off his greatness, the word Tiferes. Ksiv Hasam, when it says by the Big Dekuna, L'chavadul Tiferes. So the word Tiferes, in both Pesukim implies that here he was wearing the Big Dekuna as well. Ubelmelos hayomim ha'ela, when these days were filled, Ravu Shmuel. So the Ravu Shmuel both have an opinion. Chanamar melech pikechaya.
Which days were filled?
So we're gonna explain. Rashi points out that basically if you follow the Megillah, so first he made a party for all of the outer provinces, and then after that he made a party for Shushan. So after the party for all the other provinces, when those days were filled, now cue our story. He made a party in Shushan, right?
And that's the story with his wife.
Well, we're going to get there. So, Umelos Hayamim Ha'ila. So, that was the thing. First, he did the outer provinces, then he did Shushan. So, Machlokas Yun Rabbi Shmuel, Chanamar Melch Pikechaya. He was a very smart, a very wise king. Chanamar Melch Tipeshaya. The other one, he said it was a very foolish king. Mandamar Melch Pikechaya, the one who says that it was very wise. So, Shapir Avid, He did the right thing by having the outer prophets and sinners. Why? The kar v'chika b'resha, the b'nei ma'asya, kol emas deboy ma'afyas lei. Why? He says, better. He was a wise king, because it was better for him to invite the outer provinces, have a party for the outer provinces first, because if he wanted, if they, for example, let's say they wanted to rise up against him, well, he could easily appease the Shushan, the area that was closest to him, meaning that was his locale, that was where he was located. So it would be much easier for him to appease the Shushanites, or Shushanians, however you wanna, whatever you want to call them, because they were closer, so therefore he was wise that he started with the further out parties, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the opinion that he was very wise. Umandam or Tipeshai, the mandam that he was foolish, the Baile Lekruve Bnei Masya Beresha. Right, he should have, you know, bolstered his base, his home base first. Why? The Mardu by Hanach, Hani Habu Kaimi Bahadi. Because if the outer provinces rebelled against him, at least he would have his home base set up already. He would have his supporters back home, right? So therefore, he was foolish for having the outer provinces first. He should have had Shushan first. Okay, fine. Two different opinions. Fine. Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So yes, the Talmidav es Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Mipnei manis chayvu sonein shel Yisrael sheba oso ador. Clear. Meaning, why were the it's a euphemism, it says the haters of Israel, but it's referring to Bnei Yisrael themselves. We never want to say the words, why would Bnei Yisrael be worthy of destruction? So we use a euphemism. Why were the haters of Israel worthy of destruction? Meaning, why were the Jewish people worthy of destruction? Amar Lahem, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to them, Amru Hasam, you guys say. He said, Amru Hasam, you guys, Amru Atem, I'm sorry, Amru Atem, you guys say.
What is what?
Like chayiv misa, like someone is a warrant. Yeah, not, well, it's not obligated, like a chiyuv, because yeah. I guess, you know, obligated to undergo death. Yeah, exactly, deserve. So he said to them, so they asked him a question. He said, you tell me what you think. So Amr Lo, they said to him, Mipnei shenen u'misudaso shel osa rasha. Because they benefited from the suda of Achashverosh, the evil one, right? So the Gemara asks, he said to them, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said to them, Im Kain, if this is true, Shebeshushan Yergu, Shebechola Olam, Kulo Al Yergu. If that's true, if it's just because they partook in the party of Achashverosh, well then Shushan people should be, the Shushan Jews should have been, you know, Chayiv Misa. It shouldn't be in all the Jews worldwide. They didn't, and not everyone took part in the party.
What is it? What's the question? Why were the Jews
worthy of destruction?
And when and
in what? The story of Purim.
Oh, in the story.
Yeah, we're darshaning the Megillah.
Okay.
So why were the Jews, but also Adar, in the times of the Purim story, why were they worthy of destruction that they needed this whole story to happen?
Okay.
So he said because they, so they said because they partook in the Suda of Achashverosh. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says back, well, if that's the case, then it should only be the Shushan Jews that should be killed, not everybody. So, fine. Amr lo, so they said to him, Amr ata, so then you tell us. You know, we tried, now you tell us. Amr lo, he said to them, Mipnei shishtachu letzelem. Because they bowed at the times of Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to the idol. When Nebuchadnezzar set up idols, and the Jewish people at the time bowed down to those idols. Amr lo, so they said to him, V'chi masu pnim yesh bedavar? If that's the case, I mean, there's an expression. If that's the case, how could they save face? Right? If that's the case, why were they worthy of being saved? Right? If they really did bow to Avodah Zarah, why should they have been saved? So like my answer. So yeah, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai answers them. Amar lahem heim lo asu ella lefnim lepnim. Avakash Baruch lo asamahen ella lepnim. Meaning they only bowed down to the idol on the surface, meaning because they were scared of Nebuchadnezzar killing them. They didn't actually, you know, believe in the Avodah Zarah. Therefore, Hashem also, you know, only scared them on the surface, but in the end, he actually saved them, you know, on a deeper level, in real life, in the way it played out. Fine. Behind Rudiksev, and this is what it means, kilo ana milibo, that it never, kilo ana milibo, there's a pasuk in
Eicha.
Kilo ana milibo v'yaga b'nei ish. You want to translate that?
And so it is written, for he does not afflict from his heart.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So it is written, and so it will be done. No. Okay.
The full verse reads in full, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of man.
Kilo anamilibo does not willingly afflict, meaning they didn't really deserve it because they didn't really, I guess, he wouldn't have punished them fully because they didn't actually mean what they were doing. It was just, I guess, an interesting discussion. At the end of the day, we do say it's Yarg Val Yavor, right? We say that one has to allow themselves to be killed rather than serving Avodah Zarah, but okay, for another time.
If everyone is doing it, is that still a problem?
Why not? You're saying.
Well, the whole point is like when you do it in public, there's a problem of like a Jew doing it in public.
Even if a Jew doing it in private.
What?
Someone comes up to you privately. Rachman al Slanj never happened. Someone comes up to you privately. Someone comes up to someone with a gun to their head and says, "Bow to this idol. No one will ever know about it except for me, or I'll kill you." So Yarg Val Yavor.
You're supposed to die. Yeah, I thought that's only for things in public.
Nope. It's these three things, right? It's murder, idolatry, and adultery, even in private. And then if someone's doing something, and then all other mitzvahs, you're supposed to do the avera, as opposed to being killed. However, if it's in public, meaning if they're standing you up in front of 10 other Jews and they say, "Eat this pork or I'll kill you," well, then it's a chilul Hashem because it's in public. And then you would, even for a non one of the big three, everyone would have to give up their life. But even in private, for the big three, you have to give up your life.
Got it backwards.
Yeah. So it's an interesting point over here that in a sense there was mercy on them because they only did it on the surface. They didn't actually mean it. Okay. Okay, major. Fine.
Bechatzer.
Yeah, Bechatzer. So it says Bechatzer Ginas Bisan Hamelak. So it says in the courtyard, in the garden, and in the palace of the king. So Rabbi Shmuel. So the machlokes between Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar, this is what it means. By that's why I mentioned, meaning which was it? Was it the courtyard? Was it the garden? Or was it the palace? So one opinion says, Haroy lechatzer lechatzer, those who were worthy of being in the outer courtyard, said in the outer. Meaning he rated people, he classified them, right? So if they were the lower class, so then he put them in the courtyard. Haroy legina legina, people were worthy of going into the garden, which was a little bit closer, then he put them in the garden. Haroy labisam labisam, but the people who were worthy of going to his palace, he put them in the palace. That was one opinion. Mechadamar, the other opinion, hoshivan mechatzer v'lohi chizikasam. First he put them in the courtyard, but not everybody could fit in the courtyard. Begina, he put them in the garden, v'lohi chizikasam, and they couldn't fit. Achech nisan labisam v'chizikasam. And then he put them into his palace, and his palace was so big that it fit everybody. B'masnisa Tana, there's another version. Hoshivan b'chatzer upasach lahem shnei pesachim echad legina v'echad labisan. No, what does it mean? It means he put them all in the courtyard, and in the courtyard there were two gates, there were two openings, one to the palace and one to the garden. And that's how we understand that pasuk. Okay, so three explanations of that pasuk. Fine. Continuing in the Megillah, Chor, Karpas, V'Techeles. So these were types of the materials that were Uzecheles. Chor, Karpas, Uzecheles. So these were the three materials that were that Achashverosh had at his party. So my Chor, what is Chor? Rav Amar, Chari Chari. It was this type of like a needlepoint, like a tapestry that was made of very, very small holes. It was very, very, very fine. So chari chari, because chor means like a hole. Chari chari. Shmuel Amar milas levana. No, it was white wool. You know, like the word chiver in Aramaic, ches yud vav resh, chiver or chivra is white. So it's the fact that it's chor refers to milas levana, white wool. Fine. Hitziem lahem karpas. So what's karpas? So he laid out for them karpas. So what's karpa? Sorry, milas levana hitziem lahem. He laid out white wool. Come. Karpas, what's karpas? Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina, karim shel pasim. Right, there were striped pillows, striped like pillows and cushions and stuff like that. So the Megillah continues.
Karpas means striped.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, karim pasim is striped. Karim are pillows, and pasim means striped. So karpas is putting the two words together. Striped pillows. Karim pasim.
Okay.
Did I say anything on that?
But it's also food. But you can't think of the translation.
Like, well, karpas we have like at the Seder. Yeah. Karpas. But like, again,
I'm not striped pillows on my...
You do eat the striped pillows into
your... Striped pillows on my piss up, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another approach. Some of the people make the link here between the carpus and the Megillah carpus. Okay. So, Al-Gli-Le-Kesef-Amu-De-Sheish, right? So the Megillah continues. So what is Al-Gli-Le-Kesef-Amu-De-Sheish? So the Gemara says, Mitos Zahav Va-Kesef. There were beds of silver and gold, gold and silver. Tani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as the Brisa says, Haroi Lekesef, Lekesef. So the people who were, again, going back to the rating system, the people who were worthy of silver beds got silver beds. Haroi Lezav, Lezav. Those who were worthy of golden beds got golden beds. So Amar Rabbi Nechemya, so Rabbi Nechemya said to Rabbi Yehuda, Im Kain, Atamatil Kina Besuda. What's the point of that? You're just making everyone jealous. So he says back, Ella, so what does it mean? Haim shall kesef ragleim shall zav. Now the beds were silver, but the legs were gold. So what's the question here? Tosas asked the question. What do you think?
What does it matter?
What does it matter? But let's say a more what's the word I'm looking for? Internal question. Remember the Gemara said before something else. It said that there were three locations. There was the garden, there was the courtyard, and there was the palace. So one opinion said,
there were three.
If they're worthy of the courtyard, they went to the courtyard. If they're worthy of the garden, they went to the garden. If they're worthy of the palace, they go to the palace. But nobody said, well, you're making jealousy at the party. Right here we're saying, remember, again, we said, there were beds of silver, beds of gold. Those who were worthy of silver beds got silver beds. Those who were worthy of golden beds got golden beds. So Nehemiah says, well, you're just making everyone jealous. But how come nobody asked that over there?
I don't know.
Earlier in the Gemara. So Tosas answers, the sphere lay, the kevan shaloha you rowan zed zed leka kinu. No, because there were different rooms, meaning if I'm sitting in my golden bed, and I'm sitting in my silver bed, and I see you right next to me in your golden bed, I'm going to be jealous. But since it was completely different rooms, it wouldn't bring jealousy. They didn't know about it. They didn't see each other. You're only jealous of someone you see, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara continues. So vashesh, so bahat vashesh. So what's bahat vashesh? Amar of Asi avanim shemischototos al baalein. So it was referring to certain stones that Rashi says shemischototos baalein. Ritzpa asalehem ba avanim chatutos, meaning the ground was filled with these stones. Kolom shelo baali they other ela betorach shemitach shemischatetim umachazir baalein achrayin antem betinam dami kar. Meaning. There were these stones. He brought out these stones that, in order to get, they're really, really difficult to get, and therefore the owners of them have to work really, really hard to get them. So again, in a show of all of his majesty and his fortune, he brought out these stones as well. V'chein Omer, it says Avnei Nezer misnoseses al admoso. These it's a praise for these stones that are misnoseses. Rashi says is. Al nisyonos harbe, meaning it takes a lot of experience, a lot of work to get them out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Vidar v'socharas, so the Megillah continues, Vidar v'socharas, right? So what's dar v'socharas? Rav amar dari dari. So Rav says it was dari dari. What's dari dari? Shuro shuro savit v'socharas, lashon sachar sachar. Meaning, yeah, these, again, also types of, types of gems also that were just all around the place. They were just all over the place.
So jams?
Gems, not jams. I believe that Dari Dari is talking about that. Rashi just says, Shuro, Saviv. Right, fine. But Shmuel Amar, what was Dari Dari? Evan Tova, Yesh Bekarche Hayam. There was a really fine type of gem that was from the cities close to the water. But Dara Shman was called Dara. Hoshiva Be'emza Sudha, he brought it out in the middle of the Sudha. Ir Lahem Kitzarayim. And he brought it out. It was such a clear stone that that it shines up the entire room as if it was daytime. So it was a very, very bright and clear stone that it was able to light up the entire room, I guess by the refraction of the light, whatever it was. So that was what Dari, that's what Dar Visokharis is. That's Dar. Debay Rabbi Shmuel Tana, so Rabbi Shmuel has a different opinion. What's Dari Dari? What's dar? I'm sorry. Shekara dror l'chol bale schora, so that he basically called off all of the sales tax for the merchants, meaning that they didn't have to pay the sales tax to the government. And that was called dar. It was a bit, you know, he was showing off that he didn't need their money. Fine. Behashkos beklezav v'kelim 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 shonim. Right, so he fed them, he gave them drink in golden vessels, and kelim, mikelim shonim, vessels from different vessels. So what are the vessels from different vessels? What's that a reference to? So the reason why we lay it like that, we go mikelim.
Is that
Caleb? Ah,
is that the Beit HaMikdash?
Beit HaMikdash, Caleb, exactly. We landed in Echatun because there, he was using the Caleb of the Beit HaMikdash. So it was a throwback to the destruction.
Also, that just says how that the Shonim were a little bit different. Show the wealth that Achashverosh had, that no two cups were the same. Everybody got their own cup. Every cup was different.
It's funny because nowadays, if you go somewhere and you don't have the matching set, it shows.
Yeah.
I know people that collect shot glasses. They have like hundreds of different ones.
Out of gold, basically make those. That's another Medrash and Caleb showed him that everyone had different ones. Interesting. Tim Medrash Rava.
I don't know.
Right. Interesting. We want to do the laning when he's around because he knows all the lanings. Okay, so it was Kalim Shonim. So we say, what's Kalim Shonim? Michalim Mikalim Shonim. So the Gemara says, Mishunim Ibarle. It should say Mishunim, different Kalim. Why Kalim Shonim? So Amarava, Yotz Abaskol. So Abaskol came out, for Amar Lahem. Rishonim kalu mipnei kalim. Ba'atam shonim. Shonim is a lashon of repeating, meaning Rishonim, Belshazzar, right, as we pointed out, took the kalim from the base of Mikdash, and he got destroyed that night, that very night, he died. And now you want, and now you're repeating their his avera. The yain malchus. So he gave royal wine. What's the yain malchus? Rav Amar, Rav Melamed. Yain Malchus Rav. So V'Yain Malchus Rav. So Amar Rav Melamed Shekol Echad VeEchad Hishkiyo Yain Shegadol Himenu B'Shanim. Meaning the simple explanation of Yain Malchus Rav is a lot of wine, but the problem is it should say V'Yain Malchus Harbe. Right? The word Rav means greater. It doesn't mean men. It doesn't mean a lot. It means greater. Right?
If you say so.
Rav Lachem B'nei Levi. Right? You are greater the sons of Levi. You know, or you know. So it should say harbe. So what's Rav? So it teaches us that he was so rich that he gave everybody wine that was older than them. Greater than them in years. Greater than them in years. That everyone got wine that was older than them. Malchus, sorry. Vehashtia kadas einones. The pasuk says, Vehashtia kadas einones. The drinking was according to the laws and there was no forcing. So my kadas, what is kadas? Amar Rav Chanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Chana says the name of Rabbi Meir, Kedash al Torah. He did it according to the laws of the Torah. What does that mean? Ma Torah, Ma Dash al Torah, Achila Meruba Mishtia. When it comes to, it's referring to the korbanos. When it comes to the korbanos, there's always going to be more meat that's brought on the mizbeach than the applicable libations. Mm-hmm. So too, Af. Afsudasa shalosa rasha achila merubim ishtiya. So too at this suda, there was more wine. There was more food than wine. So the Maharsha points out, why did Achashverosh care what the Torah says? So he points out because he was smart and he recognized that Belshazzar made it a completely sacrilegious experience with the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. So in a sense, he wanted to show a little bit of reverence. Like, although I'm using the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash, I'm doing it at least in line with how the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash are supposed to be used. Again, it's a warped thinking. That's how Rishayim think. You know, crazy people think. They have this warped thinking. But that's what he thought. Ein ones. What do I mean, ein ones? What does it mean, people weren't forced? I'm Rabbi Elazar. Melamed shekol echad ve'echad hishkiu miyayin midinaso. So everybody drank wine from their own country, meaning it wasn't super intoxicating for them because they were used to it. Again, they had a tolerance built up to their own wines as opposed to the wines from other countries. As Rashi points out, Miyain midiraso, Yain haragil bo v'lo yiskareu v'lo yishteu el lefiritzano. They drank what they wanted to drink, meaning they weren't forced to, people didn't come and were forced to drink, you know, the wine of Shushan. They could drink whatever wine they want from their own country.
That's pretty impressive. because he ruled over such a large area. To sort of know what every regional person enjoyed to drink and had it available.
Well, it wasn't necessarily what they enjoyed to drink. It was like, and you're drinking, it was every wine from every region.
Yeah, no. So I mean, like you're like the, you know, Greeks, like, you know, Sambuca or whatever. It's like, you know, it's every regional,
whatever the drink was. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the pasuk continues, lasos keretzon ish va'ish. So again, the pasuk shot in the pasuk is that it was according to the will of every man. But the Gemara darshens, what's ish va'ish? Why two ish? Why does it say ish twice? So Amarava lasos keretzon Mordechai v'Haman. It was to fulfill the whatever was the desire of Mordechai and Haman. Now Rashi points out something interesting that everyone knows according to this Gemara. Keretzon Mordechai v'Haman, but him hayu sari hamashkin b'mishta. That Mordechai and Haman were the two, the wine, they were in charge of the wine at the party. Interesting fact. So that's ish v'ish, korotzen ish v'ish, whatever each one said. How do we know why? How do we know ish v'ish refers to Mordechai and Haman? So by Mordechai, it says, d'chsev ish Yehudi, says Mordechai, d'chsev ish Yehudi, right? It calls him ish Yehudi. Mm-hmm. Haman ish tzar v'oyev, because Haman also is called ish tzar v'oyev. So in two times, the Megillah refers to each of them as ish. Now the Gemara continues talking about Vashti, the continuation of the, now we get to the Vashti part. Gam Vashti Hamalka Asas a Mishta Nashim Beis Hamalchus. So Vashti, the queen, also made a party for the women in the house of the palace. So
which women?
Her women. I don't know, her friends.
The harem?
Who says the harem? Who's ever done with the harem?
Or just the women in the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gemara points out, well, it should say Beis Hanashim Bibayale. She should have made it in the if she had any semblance of tznius, she should have made her party in the women's palace. She shouldn't have made it in the Kapasik says she made a women's party in the palace, right? Mm-hmm. Implying that it was right near this giant party with drunken men, right? So the Gemara is saying it should say in the women's palace. She made a party for the women in the women's palace. Why does it say she made a party for the women in the palace? So Amara Rava, Shnein LaDvar Avera Niskavnu. No, because they were both had intentions for Dvar Avera. As the story is going to unfold, he wanted to call her out undressed in an immoral way, right? And she also wanted to follow suit and show up in an immoral way. They were of the same as the Gemara is going to say. Because Amri Inchi, as people say, the famous phrase, Teddy, I know you're going to know this one. Ihu Bakari, him with his large pumpkins, Itzei Bibitzini, and her with her small pumpkins. Meaning, the point is that it's referring to that they had the same trade. They were involved with the same trade. That's all. Rashi says,
sure. I'll use it at work tomorrow.
Tluin Ktam is Klomer Deva. Oh, so Min Atzma Hu Zenoif Zunu Ephes. He was immoral and she was immoral. So that's why she made the party next to the drunk men, because she had she was planning on doing immoral things. So the pasuk continues. B'yom ha'shvi ketova lev ha'melech b'yayin. So on the seventh day, when the king was merry with wine, so the Gemara asks, "Atu ad hashta lo tov libe b'chamer." Until this point, he wasn't merry with wine. Amar Rava, Yom Hashvi Shabbos haya. It was referring to Shabbos. Shahay Yisrael ochlin v'shosin. Bnei Yisrael eat and drink. Umaschilim b'divrei Torah uv'divrei tishbachos. And through their eating and drinking, they praise Hashem and sing it and the Torah. Aval ovdi kochavim sheochlin v'shosin. When the ovdi kochavim, when the goyim eat and drink, ein maschil and ela b'divrei tiflos. With every tiflos, they discuss things that are lewd things. The chemis is also show also Russia, right? The same thing happened at Achashverosh's party. Halalu Omrim. So the non Jews at the party were saying, Madayos Nayos Nos. So the people of Madai were saying the Midian women, not Midian like Midian, but the Madayan women are the most beautiful. Halalu Omrim Parsios Nos, and the Persian women were saying, no, the Persian women are the most beautiful. Amr Lama Achashverosh, he said to them, you see this lashon that he's going to use, Kli Shani Mishtamish Bo, the vessel that I use, meaning my wife. So, Eno Lo Madai Velo Parsi, she's not Midian or Persian. Ela Kazdi, she was a Chaldean.
Chaldean?
How do you pronounce that?
Chaldean.
Not Kazdian. Chaldean.
Chaldean.
Yeah. So Ritzonchem, so he says, she's not Persian, she's not from Madai, she's Chaldean, and she's the most beautiful. So he says to them, "Ritzonchem Larosa, you want to see her?" Amru lo in uvavashite haruma. Yeah, but as long as she's undressed, because he was claiming. Because Rashi explains, the Mefarshim explained, because he was claiming she was the most beautiful. So don't tell me she's the most beautiful. She's dressed up like the queen, Now, obviously, the queen's going to be the most beautiful because she's wearing royal clothing. She's wearing makeup. You say she's the most beautiful out of all of the Persian women and all the mother women. Show us she's the most beautiful without all of the clothes and without all the makeup. So we see from here, Shivamiza Sha'adam Moded Ba. So the Gemara is picking up, why was it that Vashti was called out that she had to come, you know, undressed in front of everybody? Shivamiza Sha'adam Moded Ba Moded Din Lo. The same way that a person measures, they get measured. What does that mean? Melamed, it teaches us, Shahisa Vashti Harisha, Vashti, the evil woman, Mivia Binos Israel, Umafshita Narumos Vosad Mehen Malacha B'Shabbos. That in her palace, she would bring in the Jewish girls on Shabbos, she would make them get completely undressed and make them do malacha for her while they were undressed. So as a punishment for that, her mida keneged mida was she had to come on the seventh day completely undressed. So Hainu Dichliv, that's why the Pasuk says, Achar Hadvarim, right after the morning after the party, right? It says, Achar Hadvarim Ha'ela, Kishoch Chamas HaMelech HaChashverosh. So the day after the party when he sobered up, Zachar is Vashti Vesasher Asasa Vesasher Nigzar Aleha. He remembered Vashti and what she did and what was decreed upon her. Kishem Sha, so the Gemara Darshan, what's Asasa and Asher Nigzar Aleha? Kishem Sha Asasa Kach Nigzar Aleha. The thing that she did was decreed upon her. That's the Joshua.
So what is it that she did?
That she called out the Jewish women on the seventh day and made them work on Shabbos, not Shabbos.
But that's what Achashverosh remembered?
No. It's a drasha. It's saying he remembered what she did and what was decreed upon her.
Who's he?
Achashverosh.
Okay. He.
Right. It's Rashi's just saying. Rashi explains.
Okay.
Malamed. No, Rashi doesn't say anything. But the point is that it's saying it's a drasha on the pasuk. Again, right. There's always going to be multiple levels of interpretation of psukim. That's
all right.
Pshat, drash, remez, sod. Right? There's four levels of understanding. So this is darshaning psukim. What does it mean when it said it's an extra word? What did it say? What she did and what was decreed upon her? Just remember what he was sad because she was gone. No, the point is.
That's the context. Yeah.
So I'm saying the extra word of what she did implies that, and then connected, juxtaposed to what was decreed upon her, is the drasha. That what she did is that was decreed upon her. Fine. V'tama'in Hamalka Vashti. So the Gemara says, so the Megillah continues and says, Vashti refused to come. Right? She refused to come out. Now, as we know, you know, the Gemara is going to ask, why did she refuse to come out? We just pointed out that she was a lewd woman, right? She was also coming to do her moral thing. She was lewd. So, michti, pritzusa havai. She was, what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for in English? She was promiscuous. She was lewd herself. So why did she take such offense to coming out undressed? Damar mar, shnein ledvar aveir niskam. As we pointed out, that they both came out to do immoral things. So my time alo asi, why didn't she come? Amar Rabbi Yosef, achanina melamet shepircha batzaras. That she developed leprosy. As a punishment, she developed leprosy. And she was embarrassed to come with her leprosy, and therefore she didn't come. But Masnisatana, another verse says, Ba Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel came, Va'asala Zanav, and put a tail on her. That's the famous measure that we all know, that Vashti got a tail. Okay. So the Gemara continues, quoting the Megillah, Va'yiktsof HaMelech Ma'od, the king was very angry. So the Gemara asks, "Amai dalka bakulihai? Why did he get so enraged? Why was he? You know, it seems like a pretty legitimate. You know, she didn't want to come naked, so it seems like a pretty legitimate, you know, thing. But why did he get? Okay, he can get upset, he can get angry. Why is the Megillah pointing out that he got so enraged? So the Gemara says, "Amarava shalchale, because she sent him a message. Right? It didn't just say no. She sent him a nice message, a note. Bar ahoroi de'aba, stable boy of my father." Meaning, two interpretations. Either one opinion says that Achashverosh actually was not of royal lineage. He was a stable boy in the house of Belshazzar, in the house of Nebuchadnezzar. And he rose up, very cunning, in a cunning way, he rose up to become the king. So he never, which is, you know, it explains, again, the Malbim talks about, in general, you see Achashverosh always doing a lot of crazy things. They discuss that. If you read the Pesukim carefully, he seems to have a very big inferiority complex. He's always very, very... when the second that Haman, and everything in the story plays into it, you know, especially that last part where he now suspects Haman of trying to, you know, usurp him and try to take over in a sneaky way. He walks out and comes in that now Haman's on the bed with Esther, So he says, Hagam luchavosh is a malka yimabayis, and it just plays into his inferiority and his, his. So anyway, that but let's explain that the root of his insecurity was the fact that he never really was of royal blood. He was a stable boy. The other interpretation is that no, he was never really a stable boy, but rather she was just pointing out compared to the kingdom of my grandfather and my father, you're just like a stable boy. So he says, you're a stable boy of my father. My father could drink the wine of 1,000 men and not get drunk. And you can't hold your liquor. That's basically what she told him. So miyad v'chamasto barabo. He got extremely angry at that. It's very insulting. So the Megillah continues that the king, Achashverosh, asked the chachamim. Man chacham. So Gemara wants to know, who are these chachamim, these wise men? So the Gemara says, Rabbanan yodei ha'itim. It was the Rabbanan that knew the times. What's the Rabbanan? What does it mean? Yodei ha'itim. Sheyodin laver shanim v'lekvo chadashim. Because they know how to do how to skip the month and how to declare the Chodesh. So that's what he asked the rabbis. That was the first person he went to. Rabbis, what should I do with my wife Vashti?
Why would he ask the rabbis?
Because they're wise. Jewish people are always wise. Why do all the kings have... Again, at this point, there was no... Haman didn't come up yet with his scheme to wipe out all the Jews. Achashverosh was a Russia, but he was an opportunist. So it's not so surprising that the sages at the time were of the wisest to seek counsel from. It's not such a, you know, again, look at today. It's just the way it is. Okay, so he goes to the Chachamim and he says, Amrlu, dainu ali, judge her for me. What should I do with Vashti? So Amru, so they said amongst themselves, Hechin Yavit, what should we do? Name a Leila Katla, if we tell him to kill her, Lamachar Pasik Lechamra, Uboy Laminan. Tomorrow he's gonna sober up, he's gonna sober up, he's gonna miss her, he's gonna want her, he's gonna come to us and say, bring it back, you know? Nema le Shavka. If we tell him to leave her alone, just it's fine. Come mezalzel b'malchusa. She was mezalzel in his malchus, in his monarchy, and he's gonna blame us for that too.
What's mezalzel?
Mezalzel means like she. It was a disgrace. Like Azil was like a disgrace. So Amr lo. So he said to them. The Chachamim said to him. Miyom shechar beis hamikdash. The galina meyatzenu. So from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we were put into exile, nitla etzal mimenu, our ability to give, you know, straight counsel was removed. We don't know how to judge these types of cases, these din and nefashos.
Seriously?
Yep. Well, what do you mean? What were they supposed to say?
I don't know. It seems like such a...
It was a cop-out.
You can work your way out of something.
They were worming... That's exactly what they had. They had two options in front of them. Either way, it was lose-lose for them. They were going to be blamed no matter what happened. So they wormed out. They wormed themselves out of it. They wanted to get out of the situation as fast as possible. So that's what they said to him. Zil lagabi Amun and Moav. Go to Amun and Moav. Right? The Yosef beduchtayu, because they're sitting in their place. Meaning, the implication is that kechamra the Yosef al derdaya. Right? He said to them, go to the Amun and Moav people, because they're sitting in their place like wine on sediment. Meaning, they haven't moved around. The point is that people who are exiled and pushed around from place to place, you don't have the yishuv hadas, you don't have the stability, the peace of mind to be able to judge these cases because you never feel like you're at home. So go to Amun and Moav. They've never been exiled. They're always in their land. They've had time to think about these issues. Believe me. So what they said was logical. Dichsev, as the pasuk says, Sha'anan Moav menu urav v'shokehu al shomrav v'lo hurak mikli al kli ubagola lo halach. Right, the pasuk tells us about Moab that they, you know, it stayed in its place since its youth, and it remained in quiet, and it was never spilled from vessel to vessel, meaning it never moved from place to place, and it was never exiled. Al kain amar taimo bo verecho, and therefore it has its lo namar. So therefore, they still had their potency, they still had their taste, and their strength was still good, meaning they didn't lose any of their potency in terms of these things.
Doesn't recho like smell?
Yeah. Okay. So miyad. So right away, right after that, low number miyad. V'akaro ve'lov. So he the closest ones to him. Karshana Shesar Admasa Tarshish. So he brings in front of him his advisors. So Amar Levi, kol pasuk ze al shum korbanos. Every one of these names, are going to be darshened out as a korban. Nemar Karshana. Right, the first one's name was Karshana. Amar Malachi Asharas Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malachim said to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam. Klum hikrivu lefanecha karim b'nei shana k'derech shikrivu Yisrael. No one ever brought sacrifices, like 1-year-old sacrifices, to like the people of Yisrael. Meaning they were being melamed tzchus. They were trying to give the Jews the benefit of the doubt. So no one ever brought sacrifices of 1-year-old sacrifices to like the people of Israel. Shasser, the name Shasser, the Malachim said, Klum hikrivu lefanecha shtei torin shtei torin. No one brought to you the two birds like b'nei Yisrael. Admasa, one of them is Admasa. Klum banu lefanecha mizbeach adama. Right, no one else built you an earthen mizbeach like b'nei Yisrael. Tarshish, klum shimshu lefanecha bevig dekuna. No one served you like the Jews in the big dekuna. Dechsevu tarshish v'sham v'yeshba. So all these things, those were the materials that the big dekuna were made out of. So that's what this pasuk is, the drasha of this pasuk. Meres, so what's the name Meres? Klum mirsu badam lefanecha. Right, nobody mixed the blood so it didn't congeal like b'nei Yisrael. Marsana, klum mirsu b'menachos lefanecha. No one mixed up the menachos like the Jewish people. Memuchan, klum hechinu shulchan lefanecha. Nobody set the table, meaning the mizbeach, for you like the Jewish people. Okay, so again, these were all drashos. The Megillah continues. Vayomer memuchan. So memuchan then said. So the Gemara says, Tana, Brisa says, Memuchan ze Haman. Memuchan was Haman. Boo. V'lama nikra shmo Memuchan. Why was he called Memuchan? Shemuchan leperanos, because he was ready to cause, he was ready for disaster, for tragedy. Amar of Kahana. So we see from here, Mikan shehediot kovetz perosh. We see that the simpleton jumps to the top. How do we see that? Well, the pasuk says, if you go back to the pasuk we just read, do you not have the pasuk here? The pasuk goes through all the names, and what's the last name? Memuchan. Memuchan is Haman. So the fact that it puts Memuchan last implies he was the lowest of these advisors. Yet he jumped up top to take control of the situation. Leos called Ish Sorer Beveso. So what was the message that, what did Memuchan tell Haman, tell Achashverosh to do? Send out a message that every man is going to rule over his house. Leos called Ish Sorer Beveso. So Amar Rava. Rava said, Il male igros harishonos lo nishtar misonein shel Yisrael palit sarid v'palit. If not for this first proclamation that Mordechai that Achashverosh sent out, so the Jewish people, again we said oyvem shel Yisrael, so name shel Yisrael is a euphemism. So there'd be no, if not for this first declaration, this first proclamation, there wouldn't be one survivor left of Bnei Yisrael. Why not? What was so special about this first proclamation, right? So Amri, the people who received the proclamation, said, "Hi, the Shadirle, Leos, Lon Leos, Kol Ish V'Ish Shor Beveso Pshita." What's Achashverosh sending the people who received this proclamation? What's he telling us? Oh, the man should rule the house. Obviously, the man should rule the house, right? Afilu Karcha Beveso Pardashcha Lehavi Pardashka Lehavi. So that even a simple weaver should be the one who rules over his house. So the Gemara is telling us that because the people, once he sent out this message of silliness in their eyes, so they didn't take the second message seriously either. The second message was the one that he sent out that gave, that Haman convinced them to give, to tell everyone that we're going to kill the Jews on the 14th of Adar. Right? Yeah. Had he not sent that first message, that everyone, then everyone would have taken that second message more seriously. The fact that he lost his credibility with the first message ended up saving the Jewish people. Okay. Vayifgad HaMelech Pekidim. So the Melech, the Achashverosh, sent out officers. Again, he was sending out officers to collect all of the girls to now bring them to find him a new queen. So he said Pekidim. So Amar Rav. So Rav said, Maidichsiv. Sorry. Yeah. Amar, what? Maidichsiv Kol Arum Yaseh Bedas Uksil Yifrosh Iveles. What does it mean? The wise man does with wisdom, and the fool spreads out his foolishness. Kol arim yaseh das, b'das. Every wise man does with wisdom. Zeh David. That was David HaMelech. Dechsev, because it says, Vayomru lo avadav, yivakshu ladoni HaMelech, nara besula. Because when David was getting older, as in old age, he got very cold. So they went out to find him a young girl to warm him. Right? To serve him, to warm him. So the Gemara tells us, because David was wise, Koman the Haveli Barta, Isi Nahale. So anyone that had a daughter brought their daughter forward to be David HaMelech. He was a tzaddik, he was wise, they brought him forward to be his assistant. Uksil Yifrosh Ivelas, and the fool spreads his foolishness. Zachashverosh. Why Zachashverosh? HaMelech Pekidim, because the king sent out officers to collect all the girls. Koman the Haveli Barta, Itamra Mine. anyone who had a daughter hid them from Achashverosh, right? Because what did David HaMelech do? Out of all the girls, he was only going to take one, right? And in the end, the Pasuk tells us he wasn't even intimate with her, right? So that's David HaMelech. Achashverosh collected all the girls, was intimate with all of them, and only chose one. So that's why, since he was a fool, people hid from him. David HaMelech was wise, people were drawn to him. So the Megillah continues. Ish Yehudi Hayav Shushan Habira, right? Referring to Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. So Ishimini. So the Gemara says, what does it mean Ishimini? Why does it call him Ishimini?
Right hander,
but it's not the simple. It was the importance of being a right hander. The simple explanation is referring to Binyamin, right? That he was Ishimini from the tribe of Binyamin. So the Gemara says, if it's coming for if it's coming to tell us the yichus, so kasi liyachse. So then, was a lot of binyamin. So give him his yichus all the way to binyamin. I mean, there are a lot more people between there and binyamin. So why did it say, why did it skip to yamin? It's clearly it's not just talking about yichus. Ela maishna honey. Ela maishna. So what's with these names? Tanakulan al shemo. So no, these are all explanations of what Mordechai himself is called. Nikru ben Yair, he was called Ben Yair. Ben Shehir, he named Shalizel. He was a son that brought light to the eyes of Israel. Betfilasa with his davening. Ben Shimi, what's it called? Ben Shimi. Ben Sheshama es el Tfilaso, because he was one that heard the Tfila, or his Tfila was heard. Ben Kish, what does it mean? Ben Kish. Shehikish al Sharish Rachamim v'niftechulo, because he banged on the Kish, means like to bang. On the walls, on the gates of mercy, and they opened for him. Kari le Yehudi. So for the Gemara says now has a question. Well, is he from Binyamin? Well, Kari le Yehudi. They call him a Yehudi.
Alma me
Yehuda kasi. Kari le Yemini. But Alma me Binyamin kasi. Was he from Yehuda or was he from Binyamin? Which one? So Amar of Nachman, Mordechai muchter binimuso haya. That Mordechai was so righteous that he was crowned by both of them. Rashi says muchter benimus b'shmos noyin nimus sham loshin yavan. So meaning he was crowned with all the good names. Meaning,
what did everyone want to claim then?
Exactly. Was that here? That's later. No, that's later. Muchter benimus ohaya b'shmos noyin. He just had a lot of nice names. What? Muchter bin Musa Haya.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, look it up real quick.
Rav Nachman said Mordechai was crowned with his names, i.e. the honorable names of both his father and
his
mother.
Okay, so it is again. That's what I thought. That's a continuation of the Gemara. So, Amar Rava Barachana, Amar Yoshua, Ben Levi, Av Binyamin, V'imo Me'Yehuda. So his father was from Binyamin and his mother was from Yehuda. So even though generally you go after your father, because he was so righteous, he went ended up going after both. He was crowned with both Yehuda and Binyamin. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, Mishpachos Metagros Zobazo. Now each family fought over him. Mishpachos Yehuda Omeres Anagarim Midmisyalid Mordechai. The Lo Katle David Lashimi Ben Gera. So the people of Yehuda said, no, we caused him to be born because David HaMelech didn't kill Shimi Ben Gera, who was really Chayiv Misa. And since he didn't kill Shimi Ben Gera, Mordechai came from that, and that was the Shimi of Mordechai Ben Yari Ben Shimi. So because they didn't kill Shimi, Mordechai was born, so Yehuda claimed him as their own. Binyamin Amar Minai Kasi. Okay, but he actually was from Binyamin. So they were arguing over who took him. Rav Amar, Knesset Yisrael Amar, L'idach Gisa. So it's interesting that he says that the Jewish people actually claimed the opposite. They didn't want him. They didn't want to claim Yehuda. Claim Mordechai. What'd they say? Ra'u ma'asa li'Yehuda. Yehudi ma'ashilim li'Yemini. Look what Yehudi did to us, and what this Yemini... and how this Yemini paid us. We'll go on to the next Amud, but Ma'asa li Yehudi, what did this Yehudi do? The lo katla David l'shimi, isyalid min Mordechai, the mikni be Haman. Now because David didn't, look what Yehuda did to us. Because David didn't kill Shimei, well, Mordechai was born, and Mordechai was the one that that got Haman angry, that caused this whole thing to come up in the first place. Right? Umashilim liyamini, and what did Binyamin pay me? The lokat l'shaul la'agag, because Shaul didn't kill Agag, the king of Amalek, the Yisrael yimei Haman d'mitzar li'Yisrael. Therefore, Haman was born. So in the end, you know, Bnei Yisrael said, Yehuda was messed us up, and Binyamin messed us up. You know, it's a little bit of a different expectation you say about Mordechai at Tzadik. But that's another way that Ben Yari Ben Shimi, because they each say he was a product of Yehuda and a product of Binyamin. Okay, Shkayach.
Thank you.